Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning, family. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of John, chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Amen. Well, praise God for the opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and render all your powers null and void, and you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One, we pray. Shalom, shalom. Amen. Well, praise God, we are together again, and we're going to continue our teaching on disobedience, understanding disobedience and its consequences. Again, disobedience, understanding disobedience and its consequences. Now, we found that the word disobedience means rebellion from all recognized authority. Once again, disobedience is rebellion from all recognized authority. Now, we are studying disobedience, but basically, we want to know why the Christian is disobedient to the word of God. Now, we understand why the world is disobedient, because that is who they are. That is what they do. They don't know any better, because their God is Satan, who is the God of this age. So consequently, they are going to be disobedient, which causes them to rebel against all recognized authority. But we, in this teaching, we want to understand why the Christian, the born again, the blood-bought, tongue-talking Christian is disobedient. Why do they choose to be rebellious against God's authority? God has told us in his word that he has come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. So God has given us the abundant life. So why rebel against such a wonderful life? And he also told us that every good and every perfect gift is from above and come down from the Father of lights. So I have a very simple question, but a very complex one. Why does the Christian, the believer, whose Father has given us such wonderful promises of the blessings, that he is disobedient to his Father's word? In other words, why do you don't want to follow instructions? Well, our goal in this teaching is threefold. Number one, what is the cause of disobedience? What is the cause of disobedience? Because we know there is a cause. What causes one to be disobedient? Number two, what are the consequences of being disobedient? What are the consequences for being disobedient? Because there's always a cause and an effect. And then number three, how can one refrain from being disobedient? In other words, how can you stop from not following God's word? Amen. We want to examine these three points from a biblical perspective and see if we can get some understanding on these three points. Now, we want to get some understanding. But before I go any further, let me give you the meaning of understanding. Because once we understand the meaning of understanding, then I believe our perspective on us understanding why the Christian is disobedient will come much clearer. Well, understanding is a compound word consisting of the words under, which means to submit. Under means to submit, and standing, which means point of view. Standing means point of view. So when I or you truly understand someone, and in this case, we are talking about the word of God, well, the way God sees it is the way we should see it. The way God says it is the way we should say it. The way God does it is the way we should do it. And the results that God gets are the results we should get. Why? Because we understand we have submitted to his point of view, and we understand, and in this case, it is the word of God. So understanding, we have to make sure that we see it the way God sees it. We say it the way God says it. We do it the way God does it, and we get the same results God does. If not, then we don't understand. Amen. So let's start with point number one. What is the cause of disobedience? What is the cause of disobedience? What causes the Christian person to go against the word of God? The word tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So one must constantly hear the word of God in order for it to get into your spirit, man, for you to receive the understanding of the word. Amen. You must hear it. It says faith comes by hearing. Now pay close attention to what I'm about to say, because you can miss it if you don't. You can know the meaning of a word or scripture and not necessarily understand the concept of the meaning used in the context that it was given. Let me repeat that. You can know the meaning of a word or scripture and not necessarily understand the concept of the meaning used in the context that it was given. Now, I know the meaning of a word, but you don't necessarily have to understand that word. Amen. Now, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about, because you can know the meaning of a word, but not necessarily have the understanding of that word. You just understanding the meaning by memorizing or memorization. That doesn't necessarily mean you understand that word. I remember when I was a child, I belonged to a certain denominational church. And during the Easter celebration, they would give us a poem to memorize. And we'd go up in front of the congregation and we would recite that poem. And everybody would clap because everybody did a good job. But that doesn't necessarily meant that we understood what we were saying. We just memorized some words and we went up and repeated it. So that's the same thing with the meaning of word. You can memorize the meaning, but that doesn't mean you understand what that is. Do you really understand the meaning of Proverbs 22:6, where it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it? Do you really understand the meaning of that scripture? The word train literally means to discipline or to educate your child. So when you train up your child, you are literally disciplining him and you are educating your child. That word tells us that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Figuratively speaking, he doesn't want to eat his spinach. You have to make him. He doesn't want to eat his broccoli. You have to make him eat his broccoli. He doesn't want to clean his room. You have to make him clean his room. These are the things children don't want to do. You know, we have a relative, and she has a young child, and he has bad eating habits. He doesn't want to eat any vegetables. He doesn't want to eat certain meats. I mean, he just rebels against him. So his mom, you know, I watch her, and she's going to have to be more diligent in training him, disciplining him to eat the proper foods for nutrition to help him grow properly. Amen. So we have to train and educate your children. And sometimes they don't want that. So you have to make them do these. Once again, obedience is rebellion against all recognized authority. Disobedience is rebellion against all recognized authority. But in order to understand any situation, one must go back to the beginning to establish where it all started and start from there and work your way back. So let's go to the book of Genesis chapter 2. Go to Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 15 through 17. And it says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. So we see here that God took the man and he put him in the garden. And he gave him an assignment. He told him to tend it and to keep it. Verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. So we see here that God took the man, he put him in the garden, and then he gave a command. He said, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you do, you shall surely die. Amen. Now, at this point, God's creation, he had created the man, placed him in the garden, and gave him a command. Even though God gave man a command, he didn't control man's decision to to eat or not to eat. That was the man's decision. So let's look at 3 points that will give us insight to this topic, the cause of disobedience. The cause of disobedience. Number one is free will. Number two is adversity or adversary. Number three is understanding. So we have 3 points that I believe that causes disobedience. Number one is free will. Number two is adversary. And number three is understanding. So let's look at the first one, free will. Now, we read in Genesis 2, 15 to 17, that God gave man a commandment. So, free will. Free will is the free moral agency of man, his ability to choose, and that choice could be good or it could be bad. So he has the choice to make a decision for himself. Now let's go back to Genesis 2, 16 and 17. And it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." Now let's go back and let's look at something here. I told you that there are 3 points that are the cause of disobedience. Number one was free will, and we're looking at free will. And free will is the free moral agency of a man, his ability to choose for himself. So we see here that God gave man the commandment. And a commandment, now let's get this because this is so important. Man is really important. Command is an authoritative directive, which is to be obeyed. It is an authoritative directive, which is to be obeyed. So a commandment is to be obeyed. Amen. Authoritative means to be able to be trusted, accurate, true, or reliable. Authoritative. It is to be trusted as being accurate or true or reliable. And then it's an authoritative directive. And a directive simply means an official instruction. So God gave man an official instruction which can be trusted, is accurate, it's true, and it's reliable. And it is to be obeyed. But Adam or man didn't do it. Because why? He had a free will. He had a choice that he made, and he made the choice. Even though you have a free will to make your own choices, the choices you make are long-lasting and life-changing. Amen. God did not create man for him to control his daily life. Man was to decide for himself the choices in life he or she should make. Now, in saying that, let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. We're talking about free will. God has given man a free will. So Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to begin reading from verse number 1 to 13. And it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you should not eat of every tree of the garden?" So right from the beginning, we see that animals, apparently some were speaking, because it says, "Then the serpent said." So the serpent spoke. So apparently there were some animals in the garden that spoke. Verse 2, "And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you should not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Well, first of all, God didn't say anything about you couldn't touch it. He just said you couldn't eat from it. So from the beginning, the woman was confused. Verse 4, "Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, wait a minute. The serpent said, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open. So, wait a minute. Their eyes were not open? Apparently, they were able to see the trees and other the vegetation that was in the garden. They seen each other's physical bodies. So what do you mean by their eyes will be open? Well, Adam and Eve, or the man and the woman, they did not see through their eye gates. They seen through the eyes of the spirit, because they were spiritually innocent at the time. So they were able to see, but they seen differently, because they had not, sin had not entered into the world at this particular time. Verse number 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of the fruit and ate. She also gave her husband with her, and he ate. So, you know, the scripture tells us all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Satan's people know that, because this is all they live by. It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And this is what caught Eve's attention. It says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, because she seen the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And then after she ate, she gave it to the man, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings, and they knew that they were naked. Well, have you ever had babies in your family, maybe two nieces and nephews, or a sister and brother, and they both pretty young, say like maybe they're a year apart, one is a year old, the others are 2 years old, and sometimes your mother bathed them both in the same tub, and they both knew, and they don't know, and they don't know they knew. They just run around playing in the house naked. Well, that's the way Adam and Eve was, because they were spiritually innocent. But after they ate of the fruit, their eyes were open. The haze was broken, and they were able to see themselves physically, and they were ashamed because they were naked. Amen. And then it goes on to say, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Now, they were hiding, but how can you hide from God? Because God is omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time. So you can't hide from him. He knew where they were. He was just trying to find out what was Adam going to tell the truth of where he was. So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? And so he asked him a question. Have you ate from the tree which I commanded? Now, remember, commanded was what? Commanded was an authoritative directive, which is to be obeyed, which is to be obeyed. Adam did not obey the commandment. Why? Because he had a free will. God gave him a choice to make a decision, and he made the wrong decision. And in this case, it is life-changing and long-lasting. Amen. Then the man said, the woman. Now here we go with the blame game. The man said, the woman whom you gave me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. And the Lord said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. So first, the man said it was the woman. The woman said it was the serpent. So now it was the blame game. And then so the Lord So we see here that both of them made their choice because they had a free will. So one cause of this disobedience could be free will. And free will can get out of order or out of whack if you aren't lined up with the Word of God. If you're not being obedient to the Word of God, then you can be disobedient to the Word of God. And that's what happened here. Amen. Okay, because they had a free will, they made the choice. They made the choice to eat of the tree. God just gave them the free will to do that. And they could have done it because they were spiritually innocent. They didn't know anything any better but the goodness of God prior to this. But that old serpent, he came on the scene. And we're going to talk about that in a minute in point number two. But we want to finish up with this free will. So Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. And then we're going to read verses 1 through 16. And it says, well, you know what? I'm just about out of time for today's teaching, but I'm certainly not out of message. But please join us next week when we will continue our teaching on disobedience. But until then, remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.